This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
If I may, Barry Greenwood, what kind of work did you do in real life?
I worked for the Postal Service for nearly 40 years.
How can we trust anything you say?
Well, that's what people said years ago. They said, don't trust Greenwood. And Larry Fawcett was a police officer, so that aroused interest with people, too. But I encouraged them to think that because they said, look, I get a government paycheck, so I can't deny that I'm connected to the government. Yeah, you can take that and go where you want with it.
There is a lot of paranoia baked into ufology, so I'm sure you've dealt with that sort of thing in other cases.
Yeah. I mean, people ask me if there were men in black hanging around the neighborhood or black sedans with tinted windows and all. I never ran into any of that. I didn't experience any particular sense of paranoia. I mean, other people did who I knew, but I just couldn't relate to that at all. I didn't take that too seriously. All I was doing was filing requests, getting documents, storing them, and talking about them. If someone wanted to monitor me, it would be a pretty boring operation because they see me eating lunch and dinner and at the post office most of the day. And then only from about 11:30 at night to 3 a.m. was I doing UFO work. It's kind of hard to monitor me in the dark.
Well, yeah, I want to talk about your archival work in just a minute. But before we get too far away from the difficulty of getting government documents, the CIA's own history of their involvement in UFOs, they mentioned that there were very few documents generated from, say, like the late 70s or 80s on. And I've heard that John Alexander, he's mentioned that when he had a UFO organization, they used this sneaky name, Advanced Theoretical Physics, and they tried to use terminology that couldn't be found, and they also avoided paperwork. So yeah. Apparently they're on to the FOIA game, I guess we'll call it from their perspective, and are avoiding creating documents. So how much do you think that may complicate matters?
It's complicated it to a certain extent. I think one fact that FOIA requesters have learned is that over time you get a sense of disdain for the topic you're requesting. If you say UFO, they kind of joke about it, treat it frivolously. I know Bob Todd had run into that with elements at NORAD where they're actually openly sarcastic about his requesting UFO data, which prompted a few explosions by him towards them. And they had to apologize for it because that was not called for with the FOIA requesting. But nevertheless, that attitude was there. And we kind of learn to use other terminology to describe UFOs, as hard as that was, because it seemed like the term was tainted. As soon as you say it, it's like you're on a blacklist. So we found other inventive ways to request information and all. We thought that was a pretty good idea. But then around 2015, I was browsing some information on the National Archives website. And they had posted some graphed out data from the Vietnam War. Something about combat air activities. And when I see something like that, I just want to take a glance at it to see if there's anything relevant to UFOs. And I fully expected maybe nothing would turn up, just mission reports and bombing missions and all. So I started looking, and then I was stunned when I saw some of the causes for the combat missions. It said specifically on many of them, UFO. And I went, what? Why is that term turning up, because the Air Force didn't want to use that phrase at all. They were using it rather openly inside during Vietnam, and I almost wonder if that initial disdain about the term UFO was sort of a way to get us off from actually finding documents with that term being used despite the stigma that it had within the military. I was really floored by that, because it probably prevented some UFO materials from being discovered, especially from Vietnam, during that time frame. And I urge people I know to go back to using UFO, because they were using it themselves. And if you don't ask for that term, they won't send you documents related to it. It was an interesting turnabout. But it resulted in several binders full of UFO reports during the Vietnam War, including one that involved activity over the DMZ at the time, which resulted in an Australian ship being accidentally attacked during a period of UFO sightings over the land. And you'll be able to find that in the history books, the USS Hobart, which was quite a news story in the papers at the time. It's around 1968. I think it was July. It was fascinating discovery. So we've gone back to UFO and using all these other terms, and regardless of stigma.
Well, then, are they using UAP to set up a line of demarcation so you don't ask about UFOs, therefore it won't be looked at?
Well, they've renamed UFO. I mean, it's an old term, yeah, and they felt that was a more descriptive term of what they were dealing with. So as long as people know that that's what they're doing, I'm fine with it. I'll never stop using UFO, because I'm so used to it now, I can't get it out of my head. It's like, calling a car something else. You have to call it a car. And these are UFOs.
Well, however, these days, most cars are SUVs or crossovers or trucks.
Yeah.
The real car you can't find anymore.
Yeah. Well, I have one. It's a sedan. So I'm still comfortable using it to describe anything on four wheels that people get in and drive. If it's not a truck.
No, I have just a little Volkswagen here, so I understand that.
There you go. Still a car.
Well, Volkswagen says that, 30% of their sales are still Jettas and Golfs and Passats.
Yeah. Whatever the term applies is fine. They've renamed UFO, and that's okay. As long as we know they're dealing with the phenomenon instead of trying to sweep it under the rug. It's quite out in the open now. To me, it's a positive development.
But do you think it's going to lead us anywhere, or is it just to mollify a few people?
Probably a little bit of both.
I'm thinking of Senator Reid, for example. Senator Harry Reid is pretty clearly a very pro-UFO kind of guy. And when he was the Senate Majority Leader, that's where they got the money to finance that small UFO project.
Yeah. There were several people who were into the subject very much. I think one of them, Senator Stevens from Alaska, had a sighting. So he was inclined to support that topic. And they were able to get the money pretty well and all. I'm still unclear, though, on how it was spent. I understand that half of $22 million that was allotted to UFO research or UAP research ended up upgrading some buildings at Bigelow Aerospace.
Bigelow, I think, was a big contributor to Senator Reid. But yeah, that's the politics. Barry Greenwood joining us with Gene and with Kurtrian.
The Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
But think of it this way. In government parlance, $22 million buys a few toilet seats and hammers.
Yeah, under their pricing system, right. Well, Bigelow upgraded those buildings apparently to accommodate analyzing UFO crash debris, that became somewhat evident to me, I think, earlier in 2017, before the To the Stars business was announced and all of this started to come out. I was asked by Vijak Vallée during the summer of 2017, upon my trip to start scanning the UFO files at KUFOS in Chicago, which included NICAP files, he asked me to look for any cases involving artifacts because he was connected to some high-end project to try to analyze UFO artifacts and debris. And I didn't realize it at the time because it hadn't been announced, but the To the Stars, Louis Elizondo, all of that came out later that December, and they put two and two together and figured, well, Vallée was connected to them, and he was kind of dropping a hint at the existence of this before it ever became public.
His involvement is not well known, but he was there in Las Vegas negotiating with MUFON representatives when they were setting up to share files with them and write some reports for them. So that's all very interesting. And it's kind of a small group of people that are involved in the National Institute for Discovery Science. And, you know, it just overlaps from different projects.
I think it's left over from earlier efforts that came and went and reorganized something else. And then those passed on. And it's the same crowd. It's the same people involved with a lot of these things dating back to the 80s. That I can see, To the Stars, it involves, you know, a number of people I didn't know, but a number we did, including Hal Puthoff and Vallée, and further behind the scenes, Dr. Eric Davis. And these folks have been milling around the backwaters of UFO research for years. And then they turn up again. So, I was a little concerned, though, about some of the, people, especially Hal Puthoff, because I thought that there were suggestions, and not sometimes not so subtle suggestions, that the folks that had begun the MJ-12 hoax were becoming involved with this new effort. And I had good reason to think that because of some of the information that was surfacing, but it didn't come out full-blown that I can see, at least not yet. But they're there, and they're lurking around. I'm still cautious about how this whole thing is going to play out.
Going back to MJ-12, I was thinking, of course, Bill Moore and Richard Doty were the main offenders, right?
Primary ones, sure.
How does that get connected with all this other stuff?
It's the people, some of the people who are involved with that just continued to be involved with behind the scenes, semi-government, involvement with the subject, talking to government people and, kind of pushing this narrative of, originally it was MJ-12, turned into Project Serpo. And several other manifestations, I think, of the original MJ-12. There was a great effort to put that over and convince people it was all true. I divided into several phases. MJ-12-1 was Stan Friedman, Bill Moore, Jamie Chandra, and Richard Doty behind the scenes. And then that somewhat died in the late 80s after there were just too many questions that were weighing down the claims. They just couldn't put it over the way they wanted it to.
Yeah, but to the end of his days, Friedman still maintained it was real.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I attribute that to Stan. When he latched on to information, he held on to it like a bulldog, and he wouldn't admit to anything being wrong with it. If you recall, he would absolutely support it in every way, at least from his point of view, with his involvement. If you look at the original Roswell story as it came out around 1979, 80 or so, and you compare the narrative described in MJ-12 documents, you'll see that they're very, very similar. There's all sorts of variations on the Roswell story, different crash sites, different people involved, but the one that fits Stan the most is what's in the MJ-12 papers. So he stuck with that because of that likeness with his own thinking on it. He never let it go. I spoke to him a number of times, and he knew where I stood on it, and he just wouldn't relent, not a bit. Everything was valid as far as he was concerned. The documents were fine. He was able to criticize other people's documents, though. The MJ-12-2 version that came out around 1994, 95 or so, that involved a fellow named Tim Cooper. And he was relaying a new set of revelations from a character he knew as, I think, Cantwheel or something like that. And he was receiving classified documents through his P.O. box. And I thought, that's crazy. I know how a box line works in the post office. He claimed that he would open his box and it'd be stuffed with documents, classified, unclassified, different types of papers and reporting and all. And he'd look at it, and he'd just walk out of the post office with his arms full of them. And when that surfaced originally, I wrote up some of the information. I didn't want to spend a great deal of time on it because I felt that the original MJ-12 was blown to pieces, and I had to spend hundreds of hours on it, researching all the different documents and variations and flaws in them and testimony from these people. It just seemed like all of that to just get back to square one. It was a hoax as far as I was concerned, and I didn't want to hear about it again. Well, here it was again in the mid-90s. And I did one piece on it, and I picked on one document in particular, which had a strange anachronism in it about an incident in Gallipoli, Turkey in 1915, where there's an old story that soldiers involved with a British, I think it was a regiment described at the time, had marched into a cloud.
Hey, let's pursue this in our next segment with Barry and Gene and Kurt. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The nation's highest court opens a new term on Monday, and this comes as the justices seem to be increasingly frustrated with each other and the news media and the expectations placed on the court. CNN judicial analyst Ariane DeVogue says it all comes at a really interesting time with that term starting on Monday.
On the heels of the court dividing bitterly and allowing that Texas law to go into effect.
Referring there to the Supreme Court's in action to stop a very restrictive abortion law in Texas. He's now known as the GOAT, the greatest of all time, because of his performance over 20 years in New England, and today, for the first time since going to the Tampa Bay Bucks and immediately leading them to a world championship, Tom Brady visits New England and Gillette Stadium to face the Patriots. And this is USA Radio News. Alex Jones, the Texas man who runs the website InfoWars, is going to have to pay up after claiming that the 2012 Sandy Hook school shootings in Connecticut were all a big hoax. Jones was found legally responsible in two lawsuits, and the lawyer for victims says,
finally, there's some accountability standard that he's now going to have to answer to.
Attorney Bill Ogden saying he's never seen a case play out quite like this, as Jones, who lives in Austin, didn't comply with court orders to provide information for the lawsuits, meaning he lost the cases by default. A jury will determine how much he owes. 20 kids were killed in that shooting, along with six other people. California school students 12 years of age and older are now being required to get vaccinated against COVID-19, although Governor Gavin Newsom says the mandate won't really take effect until the FDA has fully approved the COVID-19 vaccine for ages 12 and up, which could happen as early November. This is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Marched into a crowd, Barry? Tell us.
A cloud.
Now it's cloudy.
They called it a loaf-shaped cloud, and this group marched into it, and according to the witnesses at the time, they said the cloud lifted off the ground, and not a soldier was in sight, and it took off and disappeared. So that entire regiment had vanished, and that's been a long-standing story in the subject over the years. It originated in 1965, when there was a reunion of the Anzac troops who invaded Turkey during World War One, the Australian and New Zealand soldiers who had banded together. And the group of them, they were eating and drinking, having a great time and all, and somehow a story came up from several of them, which they told, and then were asked to sign an affidavit attesting to this, which they did. And the affidavit was published in a magazine called Space View. When that came out, this story was so sensational, and it was repeated in any number of other publications and books. But it had its origins in 1965.
The Space View magazine, where do I remember that?
That was a New Zealand publication by a fellow named Hank Henflar.
Okay.
And it was out quite a few years. The MJ-12 papers, as I said, I looked into one document, and it repeated the story. But the document was dated 1952.
Huh.
So how can something that began in 1965 appear in a 1952 document? And I brought this up to the promoters of this. I think, what was it, Ryan and Robert Wood at the time. I said, how do you explain this? This document's real. This can't be the case. This incident didn't begin until many years after the document was written. And they sort of hedged and hawed about it and never really totally admitted that there was a real problem with it. So I felt with that document coming out with an assortment of other tainted documents, you can just write the whole thing off. If you have one bad apple in the bunch, the rest of them become associated with it. They came from the same source, which, by the way, is anonymous, and another anonymous source. If anyone read Clear Intent, they know what I think about anonymous sources. If you're going to produce documents on UFOs, make sure that you have proof that they come from government agencies and they have cover letters, because if they come from mysterious sources, I don't even want to consider them. You don't know where they come from, then what good are they? It could come from the local comic book store for all you know. So I don't give regard to unsourced information like that. Stan Friedman used to do so. He said that the things that come out through leaks are better than the things that were coming through FOIA. They said, oh, really? Well, you point to one leak that was more credible than documents coming through FOIA. And he was citing MJ-12, which is crazy, because that was, again, unsourced.
And Roswell was the center of a lot of this paperwork. It was. It seems like the Roswell case in particular, and I'm not a fan of it, but of all the UFO events, there's been more hoaxed material that is crafted to support the Roswell story.
Yeah, Roswell is the preeminent crashed UFO story. So if you're going to create suspicious documents, you're going to try to link it to something which is seemingly credible. Seemingly, I say. Because you're not even sure about some of the Roswell information. There's two Roswell stories, really, again. Like MJ-12, there were two Roswell stories. One was the original reporting, which you can see in old newspapers. And the debris was consisted of sticks, balsa sticks, rubberized material, tape with flowers on it. It sounded for all the world like the radar targets that were going up. And in fact, that's what they said was the cause, a down radar target. You had that, and then many years go by, 3 decades, and the story stays that way. There's never any suspicion about Roswell being something more than what it was originally reported to be. You had the 1952 wave. You had the 1957 wave of activity. You had the big outburst in the mid-60s in the United States. Not a single time during any of those very, very heavy active periods was Roswell presented as something bigger than it was. Nobody uttered a peep.
Now you're making the point that there was a lot of publicity, and anyone that wanted to come forward had ample opportunity for each one of these waves.
Right, right. Anyone, and especially since there were months and months on end when the reports were coming in hot and heavy, and the press was loaded with their front page stories, press was clamoring for any information at all, yet in later years it had been said that there were at least 200 witnesses involved with Roswell, yet not one of those people surfaced during those earlier times to talk about it at all, or even say it was important. When it became important is the second phase of Roswell. This was, I think it began in the late 70s, around November, December or so of 1977. I had noticed in one of my clipping service mailings that Jimmy Carter, at the time, had asked his science advisor, Frank Press, to look into UFOs. And Press didn't quite know what to do. He went to, I think, what a lot of people would do to ask, and that would be NASA. UFOs being maybe space vehicles, maybe NASA knows something. And he asked them about looking into UFO reports, investigating them again. And NASA's response was, if you, anyone, can produce either artifacts or bodies from UFOs, they will launch a multi-million dollar investigation into them. So I think within a few months after that came out in the press, Stan Friedman turned up Jesse Marcel. And Marcel began telling that story that he's famous for, a big debris field, miles covered by all of this debris, and so on. And Marcel coming out led to other people beginning to surface. Other witnesses saying, yeah, they remember that, and, you know, the military was there in force, and people were threatened with weapons and all. That was a dramatic change from the original Roswell story. And again, alluding back to the earlier waves of activity, where was all this back then? It was only after NASA said they would do a multi-million dollar investigation that all of these stories about Roswell bodies and debris had surfaced. And it took off from there. That became much bigger than the original story. And I felt it was a highly embellished version of what happened at Roswell in 1947.
You know, I'm going to want to ask you here what you think really happened at Roswell, because obviously that has become the ultimate legendary UFO sighting, even though, of course, the current Pentagon UAP task force pretends it never existed. Barry, Jean, and Kurt are in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
This is me, the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
So, to what degree do you think Roswell was embellished? Where does the real story lie?
Anything beyond what the original reporting was is, to me, embellished, meaning huge amounts of metallic debris, I-beams with writings on them, alien bodies. I think there are at least six different crash sites for Roswell that people have cited, all asserting that that was a crash site. And some saying, well, two UFOs are involved, and they crashed in different places. The story became heavily embellished from what the original account was by all of these additions 30 years later. 30 years plus. You can't deal with a story that's that added to over time and feel confident that that's what happened. The closer in time you have reporting, the more likely that's what happened. And that's the way news events happen. If you allow something to fester for 30 years and then try to remember detail again, you're going to get a lot of that detail wrong. Just by the vagaries of people's memories, adding to what the original recollection was. So that's what Roswell is to me. I've never been a supporter of it being an extraterrestrial spacecraft.
So what about the case you mentioned earlier, the one that got you interested, and that must have been the Lonnie Zamora, the event at Socorro. Now, do you feel that was stronger evidence?
I feel that he'd seen something that he couldn't identify. I don't know what that thing was, and that's been my stance all along with UFO reports. People have asked me over the years, well, what do you believe about UFOs? And I said, I don't believe anything. I go by the information, what it seems to indicate. I don't express my belief in what it is because nobody cares what I believe. They only care what can be shown about these incidents and where that information points. So with Lonnie Zamora, he saw this object. Two guys standing beside it, they disappear. It's a transient event. One minute, nothing was happening. Next minute, you have this event that lasted, who knows, minutes long. And then three, it takes off and disappears. So all you have left, there were marks in the ground about some heavy object laying there. There were burn marks left behind on some of the bushes. Nothing in particular could be determined from that, except whatever it was heavy and it had flame. What was that? I don't know. I can't tell you. I can't. I would be embellishing if I tried to express an opinion such as it was a space vehicle of some sort. I have no grounds for saying that. But it's an unidentified object that flew. That's as far as I go with the phenomenon until better information comes along. And we've been waiting 74 years for better information, and we're still waiting.
Well, the case of the Socorro event, that was documented at the time. And, right. You know, and the witnesses were not produced decades later. So there's a lot of contemporary information, and there's pages of Blue Book documents on it. Mm. So there's things that you can work with, and you're probably not going to learn anything new, but, you know, you can see that the information's there, the people, we know who the people were, you know, it's not mysterious, and there's not a lot of games played with the story.
Yeah, yeah. Right. You ask about credibility. I would say, in terms of credibility, probably Socorro was better than Roswell because much of the data gathered on it was contemporaneous. It was done at the time when memories were fresh and people were able to get their recollections down in detail. Whereas with Roswell, you had to let decades go by before you had such detailed recollections. The original story, there were no UFO organizations, there was no Air Force organization investigating the topic. You had to rely on, you know, scuttlebutt and what was in the newspapers at the time. That, to me, is more credible than the distant recollections. And the fact also, too, I think there is only one document that the government ever produced from that time on the incident. It was an FBI document describing pretty much what the press was talking about then. Nothing has been found since discussing Roswell as an extraterrestrial vehicle in any way, shape, or form. There's no such documentation. Now, you could say, well, it was all picked up and taken away, but prove it. Prove that that happened. It's a supposition that may or may not be true.
It's been made really famous, and a lot of people who come in, and there are always new people coming in, get interested in UFOs. They'll see, you know, on Facebook or Twitter or television shows. What would you recommend that some of these people that are drawn in, how can they gravitate towards more credible information?
That's a very interesting question because we've debated that for a long time amongst, you know, people I know and organizations trying to let the public know what's credible and what isn't. There's an awful lot of garbage out there that purports to be UFO research. And the longer you're in it, generally, the more you should be able to learn about these issues and to be able to distinguish what's good and bad information. But communication is a problem, too, because there are probably hundreds of podcasts, internet sites on UFOs and all telling, you know, different variations on the same theme. How do you figure out what's what? I would suggest, as I mentioned earlier, anything that comes from anonymous sources, disregard. If you're going to look into something, check to see if there's a lot of research done on it. What the research says, do they jump to conclusions about the research that are unwarranted, or do they stay within a group of facts that have been established about this story? Use science. Use scientific thinking when you're assessing all of these different sites and see if those people practice that. And I guarantee you, it's very easy to determine that a lot of these sites don't practice good science. Apply that, and you'll be better off because I think you'll be able to assess information in a much better fashion and not fool yourself or fool other people as a result.
You mentioned sites. Now, there's two that I've seen your name associated with, and one is the NICAP site, and the QFOS site. And you mentioned that you're doing scanning work for, I guess, the files of both. Now, before we get away from it, I think we need to hear about what's happened there, who you're working with, and what you found.
Right, right. I had decided in, 2017, I had known that the files of the Center for UFO Studies plus NICAP, they were both, together, were part of Alan Hynek's original idea on having a scientific UFO organization. But, around 2010, it became evident that they were going to have to leave their headquarters in Evanston, Illinois. You know, finances, rents, and all of that catches up with the group. So the files were parceled off in two different directions. I think mostly the books and some files went to the home of the president of QFOS, Mark Rodiger. And the case files and periodicals and other paraphernalia had gone to the group's webmaster, Mary Kastner. And she had the records in her basement. And I'd gotten to know Mary through other inquiries and research and all. And she had mentioned having the QFOS files in her basement, made over basement, not a damp basement. So I thought, gee, I wonder if I can just go out there for a week or so and see if I could pull some files that I wasn't able to pull before. I visited there when they had the headquarters earlier, but I only could spend a few hours at a time, and it just wasn't adequate considering they had something like 58 file drawers full of cases.
A fascinating trip we're taking to the history of serious UFO research with Barry Greenwood and Gene and Kurt Collins. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. That's 800-475-0092.